Alrighty, we're back from the top of the hour break. This is Isidro Gutierrez on the Chad Hasty Show here in the studios of KFIO, along with Dustin Burrows, who is a candidate for District 83, Texas House of Representatives. And right now, we're going to go right over to Dustin, and we're going to ask Dustin to tell us who you are, your experience, your qualifications, your legislative agenda, which maybe... what you're thinking in terms of committee work at the legislature, Dustin? Go ahead. Give us your spiel.
Isidro, I was born and raised here in Lubbock, Texas. I've been practicing law with my father for the last 10 years, and I'm going to jump right to what I think my legislative agenda would be. I think we absolutely have to have legislation that is going to secure the border and control and curb the flow of illegals across it. I think we absolutely need legislation that caps the rate of increase in the appraised value of property. We need education reform that puts the student first, and we also need to have legislation that repeals some of the laws on our books. You know, the rule of law is something that I have a lot of respect for, and I think everybody I know wants to be a law-abiding and regulatory-compliant person. We need to make sure our laws are simple to understand, attainable, and there's not so many of them on the books that people have to go hire a lawyer like me just to figure out how they can be lawful. There's something fundamentally wrong with that. I mean, if you respect the rule of law, it needs to be simpler to understand and simple to find, so it's accessible to all of us.
Well, Dustin, I'm going to tell you how true that is. Somebody decided to write a book on how many laws you break every day just by your everyday activities. That means going to the grocery store, you know, going to work, being in the office, coming home and hugging your wife and telling her how much you love her. Some guy wrote a book says that during your normal workday, there are so many laws on the books right now that you would have violated at least three federal laws and you would have committed three felonies during the day. We just have too much burdensome. That's it. Too much overreaching, burdensome
overly
government.
Burdensome. Let me tell you a couple things. Winston Churchill basically said at the turn of the century, he says, once you have 10,000 regulations, you have no respect for the rule of law. Stalin's head of secret police says, you show me the man and I'll find the crime, because they had so many of them on the books back in, you know, that time. And then here's the other question for you. Do you know how many federal crimes are on the books that you could actually go to the jail for?
I'm afraid to ask, but go ahead, tell us.
Okay, well, they did some research on it and nobody could actually get to an exact number. So the American Bar Association had to estimate, said there's 10,000 federal crimes on the books, but that's the best estimate because there's so much paper in the Congress that we're just trying to do our best guess of where it is. There is something fundamentally wrong with that for a guy like me who actually respects the rule of law.
When something is too numerous to count, I'm telling you, that's gone overboard. So we need sunshine oversight over our state, because Dustin, I want Texas to be a model for the nation.
We have to be. I mean, Texas is one of the freest, if not the freest state there is. And we have to be the beacon of light to the rest of the country. And we have to experiment and do things that we know are going to work here in this state that are free market solutions, and show to the rest of the country that if we believe in the individual and we unlock the power of the individual and we give freedom to the individual to make choices, good and bad choices, that we will have a stronger, better, more prosperous economy and a stronger, better, more prosperous people.
You know, folks are moving to Texas precisely for that reason, because we do have a little bit more liberty in Texas than other states. And the reason for that is because of our conservative leadership that we have enjoyed over the last 20 years in Austin. I'm not very happy with everything that goes on in Austin. I'm somewhat satisfied. But I'm going to tell you something. I am really happy about Attorney General Abbott saying no to the federal government when they try to overreach in Texas. And I wish that more states around the country would do that. As a matter of fact, some states have done it. Like, for example, Oklahoma has done it and Arizona. But based on what Abbott did here in Texas, he protected your liberty and my liberty, and that's conservative values right there.
Well, I mean, Isidro, if we look back at it, the states created the federal government. It was not the other way around. The states basically have the power. They just need to exert it. And part of that is they have to look at beware of beginnings, because every time they take money and they do things, they can become more and more and more centralized in D.C. And there's a problem with that. That's not the way we were intended. That's not the way the Constitution was set up. and we need to exorcise some of these states' rights.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because that happens to be in a book that we're going to give away today. Sometime between the 9:30 and 10:30 hour, Dustin, we're going to give away a book called The 5,000-Year Leap. And in there, it talks about what precisely what you just said.
Yeah, no, it's a great book. I have in the middle of reading it. It's very easy to read, and you'll knock it out a lot quicker than you think.
Not only that, it actually educates us as to what the original intent was. Like, for example, the states rule over the federal government. The federal government does not rule over the states.
Yeah, I mean, basically, if you start with the premise that, you know, God gave us life, and that's the truth. And he wanted us to enjoy that life. And we have certain liberties that came to be able to enjoy our life. We decided to form a government through the states, a federal government, and surrender some of those liberties in exchange for protection of the others. And what Ronald Reagan said in his 1981 inauguration speech is, at certain times in our history, the consent of the government has been exceeded by the powers of the federal government. And I think we're living in that time right now.
You know, our Congress in Washington has not quite done what they should do. And you could see it in Senator Sessions' speech a couple of days ago, when he was begging his fellow senators to do something, please. You know, it's a shame. Dustin, 10 years ago, we would have never heard a senator on the floor of the Senate begging his fellow senators to do something. But if the Congress will not do it, then it is up to Texas to protect Texans. And so that's going to be your job when you're elected. That's what you're going to be doing for Texans is protecting us from federal overreach, especially EPA.
It's an awesome responsibility, and I look forward to discharging it with my full and every bit of my capability.
Well, you were mentioning that border security is on the top of priority for you. What we need to do, a lot of folks have said to me, and I believe this personally, so I'm going to give you what my personal opinion and what a lot of friends have told me, is that we have got to secure the border, and we have got to return the illegal aliens who have crossed into the United States to their home countries. Because if we do not do that, then they're going to get on the phone, and they're going to call back home, and they're going to say, hey, it's great up here. Look what I got. Come on. And they're going to come. And so that's why I've been saying that when folks say that there's 50,000 or 100,000 children that have crossed into the United States, I say it's a million, because those little children are going to call home, and they're going to tell their mom, their dad, their brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, and grandparents, come on down. So that's why I say a million. Border security is top.
Yeah, I mean, Isidro, if you think about it this way, a nation without borders is not a nation. It's a crosswalk. I mean, and we actually basically have to sit there and understand that premise. We also have to understand that we are a magnet for people in other parts of the world to want to come here. In some ways, that's a good thing, and I'm not against any immigration, because some immigration is good, but it needs to be controlled immigration and not illegal immigration.
I just heard where it's about a million individuals that come to the country annually through the legal process. That's a million folks coming into the country every year. And that is what the American public says. We support legal immigration. We always have. So what the American people are against is illegal aliens crossing the border and then receiving freebies from the federal government. That means from you and me, essentially.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I mean, they no longer call it amnesty because, you know, they did some polling somewhere and amnesty was a bad word. So now they call it, you know, all sorts of different other things, you know, regularization, normalization, you know, pathway to citizenship. But essentially, it's actually amnesty. And I think the people who support that need to just level with the people and tell them exactly what it actually is. But, you know, if you look at the statistics, and the average brand new American or any American receives $31,000 in direct governmental benefits, the average naturalized newly immigrated person can only generate about, I think the median income is $30,000. And so if you look at the taxes being paid by them, we're having to subsidize them. And with all of the different social programs and things out there that they're going to be entitled to, we can't afford it. We could afford it. We need to act in our own selfish best interest from time to time. And so we need to think about the economic burden of that and how that's going to and also how having these people over here illegally and then amnestizing them is going to affect poor Americans that don't have work already. It's going to hurt them the worst.
All righty. Well, we have a caller on the line, Dustin. Jerry is calling us, and he's got a question for you. Now, Jerry, we got about a minute in this segment, so you can ask your question and hold on through the break. Go ahead. Ask Dustin your question.
I want to know what Dustin's feeling is on Agenda 21, how it's being implemented now.
Yeah, Jerry, I'll tell you, that's one of the things that I am not as familiar with. I've been looking at it. I know a lot of really good people who are concerned about it. And here's my position on it. My law partner, who's my managing partner, his mother has a great saying, and he always says, beware of beginnings. And I think there's a lot of prudence in that. And I do see that a lot of our power is being ceded, to bigger globalization efforts. I am against that. I want to research and study, this thing to see what's really going on with it. But I think everything goes back to this idea of you need to beware of beginnings, because the best start to basically avoiding problems is to recognize them before you basically get one foot in the door.
Well, all I can say is when you get to studying Agenda 21, we've got quite a few thousand of acres of land and everything scattered around Texas. And Agenda 21 is the total takeover of America by the United Nations through the back door.
Yeah. Jerry, what they want to do is they want to control your water and tell you how to use it. They want to control your land and tell you how to use it.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, let me tell you, I want to fight to basically make sure that our power is not ceded to D.C. I certainly don't want any of our power to be ceded to something beyond D.C. I mean, I think we're all in agreement with that.
All righty. We've got to go to break, Jerry. Thank you for your call. Yeah. We appreciate you. We'll be back. Alrighty, that's rock and roll music there. Ha ha! I love rock and roll. I bet that all our listeners do too. This broadcast reaches all the seven counties in District 83. I hope a lot of folks are tuned in, because we're talking to Dustin Burrows. He is candidate for District 83, and he wants to be our representative in Austin and make sure that our liberties and our property are protected and taken care of. The way a true conservative would do for the people of his district, and essentially for the people of Texas. Because, Dustin, when you take care of West Texas, you're taking care of all of Texas. And, there's something going on right now, Dustin. The EPA wants to control water all over the country now. They want to take ownership of water all over the country. That is outrageous. So as our representative in Austin, what are you going to do to protect our liberties and our property rights, and specifically water?
Isidro, it's not just the EPA. State government, local governments, they all want our water. It is fundamentally wrong. I represent over 400 agricultural producers in the area. Most of my law practice is devoted to taking care of cotton farmers and other types of industry farmers. And these guys went out and they paid a premium for their land because it had water, and they bought the rights with it. They wanted to be able to tap it and use it the way they want to. And I believe in private property. It is the cornerstone of a free market. And if you like private property and you believe in the free market, you have to protect private property rights at all costs.
Well, another thing is that water has been the right of capture has been law in Texas for over 100 years, and it's served us very well.
Yeah, from the land patents to the Constitution to everything about it, it has always been the person's private property. At the end, we had a recent Supreme Court case that basically said the exact same thing. This is a person's private property, and we need to respect that. If it's for your private property, you have the right to buy it, sell it, waste it, misuse it, do whatever you want with it. However, if the government wants to step in and stop that, they better be willing to pay a hefty premium for taking some of those rights.
I'll tell you what I've told government officials in the past, and that is that we're taking pretty good care of our water. We don't need you. Oh, by the way, we got a call. Kelly Young is on the line. He wants to ask you about water, as it turns out.
Okay. Hmm?
Kelly, you are on the air.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I'm a Protect Water Rights Coalition, and I greatly appreciate what Dustin just said. He is the only guy that has said in a pure way how the water ownership really is. We've talked to a lot of candidates, and this is my personal opinion. It's not necessarily an endorsement to Protect Water Rights Coalition, but I'm so impressed with what Dustin just said. I actually called in just to make some comments to, you know, ask Dustin what he thought about this issue, and before I could get online there, I listened to what he said about it, and I'm just thoroughly impressed.
He was on target, wasn't he, Kelly? Hey, by the way, so you say you're with the Water Rights Coalition, and you're a member of the coalition.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
I'm a director of it, and so I'm really involved in about the issue and the nuances of it, and Dustin is hitting on the nuances of this issue in the correct way. He acknowledges the land patent and the genuine ownership of it, and here's the thing: it's the Supreme Court said that the landowner owns that water the same as oil and gas. So if they can take your water or deprive you of the use of it, then they can do that with oil and gas too, or anything else under your soil.
Kelly, you're on target. That's incrementalism, and that is one of the dangers of big government. Hey, look, government, big government, our farmers are doing a pretty good job taking care of our water, aren't they?
Oh, my gosh. That's the thing that doesn't get told in this story so much is, I mean, the people who actually are farming the land, they're the best incentivized to take care of their own property, and they do. There's this misimpression that people in the I-35 corridor want to create about how we're actually taking care of our water out here, that somehow we're wasting it, that we're just turning on a spigot and letting it basically dehydrate off, and that's completely wrong. The guys I know, and Kelly, you can speak to this some more, I mean, they're looking at all sorts of conservation efforts because it's their land, and they know if they run out of water, it's big problems and cost them the most. I mean, they're in the best position. They're the most incentivized to actually conserve. And by the way, I just don't see any mechanism for the government to do it. And I'll say one more thing, Kelly. I am very passionate about this issue, as you know. Every chance I get, I'm speaking out about this issue because it's just fundamental right and wrong. And there's some very good Republicans who disagree with me on it. But, I mean, this is something that I choose to talk about over and over and over again because it is what I think defines Texas and American exceptionalism.
Well, Dustin, what they're doing, see, the guys you're talking about, the Republicans and who all that are for it, they've been brainwashed into thinking we've got to have this local control to protect us from what Austin is wanting to do even harsher. Well, what our answer to that is first of all, TCEQ does not have authority over private groundwater, and they have acknowledged that in court two times, two separate occasions in court over in Briscoe County, because they're trying to take over Briscoe County private property and force it into the annexation under High Plains Water District.
Yep.
All righty. You know, Kelly,
against the will of the landowners and even the commissioners of Briscoe County.
I'll tell you what, Kelly, this is a prediction that I'm going to make, and I've got Dustin sitting right here across the table, so I'm going to ask for a commitment from Dustin. If you're elected, make sure they do not introduce legislation in Austin that will give them the right. To make sure that does not happen, Dustin.
I'll make a commitment however which way you want. That is an easy pledge. I mean, there'll be some yelling and screaming and gnashing of teeth over that.
Well, thank you, Dustin. I you're the only guy of all the politicians I've heard that is speaking the true issue here, the truth of the issue.
Kelly,
I applaud you for your courage in that.
I want to thank you for your call, Kelly. We appreciate that very much. We have a caller on hold, so caller, we're going to break. There's music playing in the background, so hold on. Do not hang up. We'll be right back in just a minute. We are back from the break. on the Chad Hastie Show. This is Isidro Gutierrez in the studios of KFYO with Dustin Burroughs talking Texas politics, specifically the District 83 House Representative process that is going to transpire very shortly. We're on the topic of water right now. You know that there was a proposal once to build a pipeline from the Mississippi River to Lubbock. That was a while back. They should have done it, you know, because the Mississippi River pours trillions of gallons of fresh water into the Gulf. And could we use those trillions of gallons of water here? You know, that was something proposed 30 years ago. They should have done it, I'm telling you. But we got Josh on the telephone. Josh, thank you for your patience, for holding on. You have a question for Dustin Burroughs.
Well, yes, I do, and I have to say, when I heard that Dustin Burroughs was running, I got excited because, you know, I know that he's somebody that will stand in the gap, and he's got a lot of passion for liberty, so I'm very excited about that. Now, on the issue of water rights, we've got to go back to the Constitution. What is the rule of law? And I don't see where the EPA has good standing to take care of what people in West Texas will do for their own self-preservation and their own prosperity and progress. So, you know, the way I look at the power structure is it starts from the people first, and then it emanates out from there. And all of these elected public servants are really firewalls that protect us. And when all of those fail or fall in line with nefarious or, you know, unwanted agendas, that's when the people have to make tough decisions about what they're going to do to protect their rights. And so that's what I'm waiting to see at the local and the state level, is somebody that will, you know, serve as a firewall, that will start to nullify the EPA when they step out of line. And, you know, we saw what happened with Clive and Bundy and you know, clearly that could have been mitigated in a much much better way. And I would like to know, you know, what kind of things are you looking at, and where do you see a state representative as far as being a firewall to protect citizens?
Well, you know, first off, if I get elected, I'll be one of 150. And I think you have to start with looking at, there'd be 95 Republicans there. I think that there's probably 25, 30 that are liberty-minded, and then there's some others that are not. But I think you need to be able to work and try to educate everybody within the House of Representatives about some of these issues. And I think you also have to educate the people about some of these issues, because we look back at Thomas Jefferson and we look back at our founders, and they knew that if we weren't educating people about their rights, they wouldn't have actually appreciated them or understand them. And I'll tell you, I think the fundamental issue in all of this is a lack of understanding of where power emanates from. And you put it right. I mean, it starts with the people, and that's historically where it's actually been. You know, part of actually putting legislation down is you've got to work with 150 people to try to get something passed. I don't know how much will actually get passed. I think we have a good chance of maybe repealing some things that are currently on the books, and returning some barriers to entry into the marketplace is maybe a place we may be able to find some common ground for this legislative session. And then basically, if they're going to go forward and continue taking liberties away from West Texas to Austin, or giving liberties from Austin to D.C. or beyond, you know, I think you just got to be a loud voice and call it out as it is, and hopefully people will start to listen if you can't get the legislation in place to stop it.
Right. Well, you've got to look at what your avenues are to get those done. Clearly, the sheriff has a lot of power, and maybe some inroads could be made to where sheriffs can qualify, or they can put some you know, some gates that the federal government has to pass through in order to get control of the situation. But one thing I like about you is your dexterity and the way that you are able to get things across. You know, I come across as a lot more abrasive sometimes, and a lot of times I think it's needed, but you have great skill in educating people, and educating is really a two-way street. I think the citizens should do everything they can to educate the elected, you know, public servants. And it should go the other way, just like you were talking. But it all comes down to consent. And, you know, as we pay our taxes and as our tax money goes to do all kinds of crazy things, including oppress the citizens of West Texas, the consent has to be withdrawn, and it has to be made known at a greater level that the people are not interested in being told what to do, and being forced upon with their own money. So, you know, I would just encourage you, if you get in, to, you know, look at the strategic ways that you can educate and get your point across. I mean, the moral authority is so important, you know, using the moral authority in your language and in your context is really how you get things done. And it's a process. It takes time. It takes, you know, people getting information from different sources over time for these things to happen. So it's really not cut and dry. And, you know, I think you'd be a good job at it. So I appreciate you running.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Two comments. I mean, first off, I think there's nobody in the world who knows everything, and especially not elected officials. I mean, if you're not spending time in your community and learning and always having a zest to actually learn new things and listen and get feedback from your community, not from, you know, the bureaucrats in Austin or D.C., you've got a real fundamental problem with knowing how to represent people, and you need to give feedback to explain why you did. But then it goes on to the question of effectiveness. And, you know, this is a party debate that I think we often have, is some people in the party think that, you know, we're going to get our point across by being yelling the loudest in our room. And I wish, you know, that was the case, that whoever was loudest and most vocal would win the argument and prevail the day. But unfortunately, I don't think that's actually what's going to happen in Austin and D.C. I think you have to go down there with strong moral convictions. I think you have to go down there with principled convictions. And I think you have to try and educate not only the public, but also the other members down there about what's right and wrong, and try to carry them over and essentially, you know, negotiate for them to come over to your side. You can't compromise with liberals because there's not a whole lot of room. But some of the more, you know, moderate in our party, I mean, we can't basically be yelling at them and telling them they have no place there, because we'll never win them over. But we have the truth on our side. We have the facts on our side. We have the moral authority on our side. So if we sit down and we talk about it and we don't give up and we continue and continue and continue, we will win people over who are maybe not as principled as we are.
One of the things is that when you do stand on principle, that you remember what you said last week. You remember what you said last year. You know, it doesn't change. Yeah. And that's the good thing about standing on principle.
Mark Twain said it best. If you always tell the truth, you don't have to have a good memory.
And then you don't have to weave that tangled web, right? I have seen folks on TV trying to remember what they said last month. You know, mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I believe that's what happened to our Governor Rick Perry during the presidential debates about 4 years ago.
Yes,
when he forgot his third point, and that was because he had been coached on it. See,
stop memorizing things. Yeah, I mean, you know.
Right. but Dustin, you are on target when you say if you stand on solid principles, you will not have to remember. You'll know it.
Well, and if you're not the expert on the topic, you know, just say, hey, look, I'm not the expert on the topic, but I'd like to hear from you, and try to make yourself, if it's an important issue, you don't have to be the expert on every single thing. And I don't think you have to give an opinion on every single thing if you don't have the expertise, but you need to learn.
I will say that, you know, some of the most intelligent people, or people that at least think they're intelligent, seem to be some of the most ignorant people when it comes to different issues. You know, these people are successful, they've got it going on, but like you said, it's impossible to know everything about everything. And you bring up facts and information a lot of times with people, and, you know, they're like, well, you know, they make a decision based off their emotions and about their off their feelings, and with completely, with no information, and that drives me crazy. And we talked about an informed public is what it takes. And I think a state representative can do a great outreach to educate and to provide the information. I mean, like I said, we're looking for a firewall. I've got to go, guys.
All righty, Josh. Thank you, Josh, for your call. And we're going to go to a break here in just I think I hear music in the background. So we're going to be back after this break on the Chad Hasty Show, 770-5790, if you would like to be a part of the program. This is Isidro Gutierrez visiting with Dustin Burroughs, candidate for District 83, Texas House of Representatives. We'll be right back after this break.